You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
The Black Helicopter crowd knows
that. The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
Yep. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black Helicopter News starts now.
Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the podcast. This is Black Helicopter News, and I'm your host, Andrew Robinson. And today we're joined by artist and designer, Whit Stevenson.
Hey, glad to be here. Looking forward to doing more of these. Let's do it.
So let's get into the show.
There's very clearly lots of things going on related to alternative narratives. A lot of people are out there doing what you're doing, what my brother is doing, and trying to wake people up. Now, the problems that I've encountered in my own pursuit of the truth is that there are so many mind-blowing facts out there that just make you go WTF. Like, what is the real, like, what is the truth? Because there seem to be so many assaults by the New World Order establishment. And then there's COINTELPRO. And what did COINTELPRO evolve into? Because it must have evolved into something. The powers that be might want us to think that there's a certain history to things like COINTELPRO or, I mean, you can point to any.
Like, I'd like to consider myself awake, but I still feel like recently. Yeah, sure. I still feel like I'm waking up sometimes more and more.
Right. It's a process.
I always believed 9/11 was an inside job, but I think I did just blindly. And my friend pointed it out with a can of spray paint. Look, if this top cap gets knocked off and dropped it, and then they're saying that the building just completely fell like that. And then it happened twice. And then a third building that was a controlled demolition fell the same way. That sunk in like, shoot, this is more than just speculation. This is bold-faced lies.
Well, when you have a segment of 9/11 truth movement, I'm sure you're aware, is the architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Richard Gage, I believe.
Okay, you probably know better than me because I haven't looked into it recently, but if you got people that are successful in their field, PhDs, whatever, and like thousands of them are in agreement that the scientific reality of that event is controlled demolition and that there can be no other explanation. Plus, you've got evidence, if you dig for it, of people that remember hearing bombs going off before the collapses occurred.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even watched a video that was shot in real time and it was really tedious to watch because it was real time, about 2 hours long, that I think was shot from Hoboken right across the river with just a camera on a tripod, and you can hear the explosions going off from across the river. So they're big enough to be heard across the river, and I believe it was the filming started right after the first plane impacted the towers. So there's mountains and mountains of evidence that is being denied and covered up, and there's plenty of stories that can distract us. Whether they're fabricated or not is kind of irrelevant, I guess, but the more stories and more bullshit that is fabricated out there is kind of evidence to me of COINTELPRO's continuation in some sense. To me, one of the things that we need to talk about is what do you do with all this information? How do you make sense of it, if that's even possible? And whether or not you make sense of it, what do you do with it? How can we be effective? And having a radio program online is helpful, but don't we need to move on a larger scale is my question.
We do. I think it's all like little building blocks. You know, we have our podcasts, our radio shows. That's one step, just taking this information and constantly synthesizing it, breaking it down, and being able to put it in one little digestible packet of information and getting it out. Newsletter, an article, anything, just get the truth out. Wake people up. Hit every medium. All types of art. Cultural revolution where we're going to take back the narrative and in every chance we get, point it out. Confronting these things we don't want to confront. This is the information war. We have to challenge the GMOs, the vaccines, the official story of 9/11. Official story of JFK I still had in school the other day. Somebody that was thumping the anti-conspiracy theorist drum on JFK, and it's just like...
Well, you have to be prepared to point them to the evidence that's been out there. They may dismiss it as circumstantial, which there is an argument to be made in truth. But if you watch on Netflix, which I think you would consider at this point in time to be a major network, whether or not it's on television or not, it's still a major network. People are happy to pay for Netflix because of the content. And one of the things that's on there is a documentary that I saw years ago by downloading it from an obscure site that was called, at that time, it was called JFK2. And now it's really just through a page on Netflix. It's kind of repackaged. And I think it's called JFK Dark Legacy, but it's the same film. They haven't touched it or edited it in any way. So I'm going to refer to it as JFK 2 because it came out shortly after the Oliver Stone film on JFK, which began to move in the direction of truth. For a major studio production, I would say that Oliver Stone has come as close as any of us to actually being able to say the truth on that level, right? And Jon Stewart is another. He's never used the word conspiracy, to my knowledge. But he's an intelligent guy, and he certainly hinted at it. If you've watched his show,
I would
years.
Definitely consider Jon Stewart an ally of
the Truth Movement. Absolutely. But he's also, like, he's a really sharp guy. He's on top of world events. He's on top of the political process in this country. He understands it well, and he's actually, I don't know if you've heard or not yet, because it's probably not major news, but he's got a contract with HBO, so he's going to be doing essentially what John Oliver's now doing. His show, which is, it'll be a lot less pressure on him. He'll be able to live here and hang out with his wife and kids and do the farm sanctuary thing that he's doing and promoting a more vegetarian diet, things like that that are of interest to him. His wife even wrote a book, which he promoted on one of the last shows, one of the last daily shows. That I don't even think the book is out yet, but he wanted to let people know about the book so they would start to pre-order it on Amazon.
Nice.
And it's all about being kinder to animals and our relationship to animals, which is something that we need to look at, things that have to do with the Truth Movement, the truth of how we eat and all that. It's all connected. I mean, the bottom line is that the more connections that you make between all these seemingly disparate chunks of news, the more you are able to make connections between all these things. I think that is a symbol of your consciousness level, and that is a symbol of your progress as a person. And also, the more those connections are made and the more you're able to explain how you see them to another person, you help to raise that person's consciousness. So it's not just about what facts you know and what's truth and what's fabricated lie that's designed to distract you, whether that was furnished by the CIA or some tentacle of that octopus, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter, because there is a lot of that bullshit out there. There's tons and tons and tons of it. So people are overwhelmed. And then you, being a well-educated conspiracy quote-unquote theorist, step into the fray and try to explain, oh, you know, do you know about this or that? And people have already reached their limit of wanting to hear about anything. I try to go out there and tell people about Bernie Sanders and his platform, which so far in my lifetime, by the way, I just turned 50.
Congratulations.
Thanks. In my lifetime, like, there's never been a guy like Bernie Sanders. We've never been able to make that choice. And we still don't know that we can make that choice because he's not the official.
He recently put out a bill just last week to end the prohibition on marijuana.
Yeah, which is awesome. Well, I mean, ever since I started partaking, I've been wondering about that, the issue of its legality. As soon as I learned, especially about all of the incredible number of uses of this one plant.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing that one plant can do so many things. And I'm not suggesting it's the only thing like it. There are so many things in nature that have been provided for us. Cannabis could change the planet for the better in a very short time if it was embraced. But it's not going to be embraced until we force it to be. And people are doing that, and that's great. And, you know, Colorado and Washington have made really important first steps. And it makes a lot of sense for it to go from two states to entirely national legalization. Like, that makes sense.
For any kind of increment
between two states to the whole nation, doesn't really make sense to me. But anyway.
I may edit this out, but I've used hemp for recreational purposes for many years.
Yeah, same
but,
here.
Okay, if anything, it can only open your mind a little more to compassion, that I feel more in tune toking.
Right.
This should not be Schedule 1 drug.
No, especially since, I mean, if you've ever known anyone who was addicted to what I refer to as death drugs, which is mainly heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. There are other things that fit into that category, but those are kind of the three biggies to me. And methamphetamine is probably the biggest of all of them now. And it wasn't even a thing when I was a kid. It was just heroin and cocaine. And even then, cocaine was celebrated because it was back in the 70s and 80s. Like, cocaine wasn't something that people were really afraid of, but they should be. You know, it's a dangerous thing. And at the same time, it's not physically addictive the way heroin is. I only know that because you can edit this out or not. It's your choice. Okay. I think maybe you should edit it out, but I'll just go on. I had it at one point and was able to withdraw from it, but it was purely psychological. I had to kind of work on my own psyche because I got to the point where I couldn't afford to keep doing it. I couldn't live that way. You know, I couldn't hold down a job. I couldn't afford the drug itself. And I was forced to quit by all the circumstances of my life. So I had no choice but to sort of walk myself out of that building and realize that one way or another, I've got to get over this because I can't keep doing it. It's completely unsustainable. There are people who are able to live a quote-unquote sustainable lifestyle. That's really the wrong term. There are people who live with that drug in their life and somehow they maintain. But I think that that's essentially a longer downward slope that they're sliding down without really realizing. There's just no way when you've known someone who's gone through this, these kinds of experiences, or you've gone through them yourself, there's no way that you can compare cannabis to any of those other substances. It's
right.
it's a crime to even compare them. Now add to that all the cures,
concentrated cancer. Oil, the hemp oil.
It's crazy. It's crazy. There's so many ways that we need this plant in our life.
Pretty obvious by now to most of us that there are certain people in the government who want to take away our guns. Our gun rights are in jeopardy. Now they can just willy-nilly ban ammunition? Oh, the .223 ammo for AR-15s is bad. I'm going to take it away by executive order. To heck with the Congress, to heck with the Constitution, to heck with the people. I'm God, I'm the dictator, I'm running a banana republic. I don't know what the guy's thinking up there in the White House, but listen, if you want to keep your guns, and you want to maintain the ability to take care of and protect your family, you need invisible guns, ghost guns, like the AR-15, the Ghost AR-15, starting as low as $499 at guns80.com. Go to guns80.com on the web, guns80.com. Look at the link below in the description box. Link on there to guns80.com or call 844-2-GUNS-80, 844-2-GUNS-80. Or guns80.com. And I don't feel safe anymore. Oh, what a mess. I wonder who's watching me now. Who?
The IRS? You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
And it's sad because it's the tyranny of big pharma that want to treat the disease. They don't want to give you something like hemp oil where you can cure it for pennies.
Right. I should have added big pharma as one of the other death drugs, but it's such a huge thing itself. It's an industry unto itself, and it kills people left and right.
Addicted to their drugs.
Right. And then that drug has side effects that you need another drug for. Whether or not that's a conspiracy
expensive.
Or not, it doesn't matter. The point is that you become married to this quote-unquote legitimate business. Meanwhile, if you use a natural plant, you're somehow a fringe person.
They're poisoning society.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is, well, it's not funny at all, actually, but it's an important thing to point out is that because big pharma, in this case, because it's the subject, but it could apply to the government or it could apply to certainly Monsanto, they have these marketing teams and this air of legitimacy about them that we as human beings tend to just buy it, accept it, not question it, and move on through that system. Oh, vaccines could be considered another aspect of this. They're certainly in the news. They're certainly being discussed by a lot of different people, and lots of people have different opinions. Jon Stewart even said, he seemed to take the pro-vaccine opinion on one Daily Show that I remember not long ago, essentially saying, if you don't take your vaccines and your kids get sick, then my kids are going to get sick. But if your kids get sick after taking a vaccine, which there are many documented cases of, my dad, not long ago, was telling me about getting the flu after getting a flu shot. I thought that was interesting. If there's all these kids getting sick after getting these vaccine shots, then that argument gets turned on its head pretty fast.
Yeah, it's circular logic.
Yeah. It's like, wait a second. My kid didn't get the vaccine and didn't get sick. So you're telling me for some reason I need to get my kid on a vaccine for what reason? It's absurd.
And here's my major bone to pick with the vaccine. We don't even have to talk about whether they cause autism or not, or whether they have cancer in the vaccines, but the bottom line is the elite have quote-unquote clean vaccines. They have the more refined ones without the mercury, without the cancer. And
sure.
It's profitable for them.
Right. Just like war is profitable. All wars are bankers' wars, and they always have been. It's always serving the elite's interest to pit one group of people against another.
And they're always exempt from
reasons.
It. They're exempt from the drafts. They're exempt from all of the horrors that regular people have to face.
Right. So a pretty crystal clear picture for me becomes the us versus them picture. It encapsulates reality pretty well that us is 99% and them is probably 0.001% of the 1%. It's a handful. It's a room full of privileged white men. Some of them may be of different ethnicities, but they're essentially white men. And they're probably going to lose a lot of things very soon. I think a lot of things are crumbling. I think there's a lot of evidence that their agendas are being exposed, and that, Brzezinski said that it's becoming increasingly harder to carry out the NWO agenda because people are educating themselves. So that's good news, but it doesn't mean that these people with all their vested interests aren't going to find some other way on the fly by the seat of their pants to maintain power, maintain control, and maintain their agendas. So I don't see how that's possible. At a certain point, critical mass will take take over. I think we're already maybe past that point.
When we say you only need a small percentage of the population to wake up to actually stop these things, stand up and turn the course of history, how it's going. And then you see that the people controlling us are less than 1%.
Well, yeah, because awakening is important for lots of reasons beyond not being sent to FEMA camp. That's a prime driver right now, but there's lots of reasons besides that. One of the reasons that I like to think human evolution is critical is that at some point we have to begin to broach the subject in a serious way and without being ridiculed of our place in the galactic community. What is our place if, as I think you and I both agree on, there is such a thing as intelligent life from other places than
yes.
here, then we as a race have to grapple with that. And the planet may seem really big when you're suffering in the middle of some struggle in your life, or if you're in a war, or if you're being oppressed wherever you are, the world seems hopeless and it seems too big to do anything about. But when you start to think about our place in the galactic community, the world suddenly is very, very small. And we are all brothers and sisters seen through that lens. From that perspective, it becomes really easy to say, hey, you're my brother, to anybody. I could say that to a Republican right now. Walk out the door, see some guy with a Donald Trump sticker on his bumper and say, you know what? You're my brother because we're fighting the same enemies. It's not you and me. You think I'm a hippie, freak, liberal, whatever, and I think you're jingoist, gun-toting, off-tard, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, really, we're on a small planet in a crucial time, and we're more connected and we're more related. You and any other person that you see walking out the door are more related and more integrally connected than anything that might be a perceivable difference. The differences are really illusion.
Yeah.
Because we are one small planet, supposedly all alone in the universe. And, you know, that just can't be true. Because the rule of the universe is that the universe is teeming with life. The end point of the universe is always life. It's not death. It's the opposite. Light shines in the darkness. And yeah, there's a lot of darkness. I get that. But the product of light is more life and more light. So it just keeps going. When you die, the atoms in your body are reabsorbed into the ecosystem around you. If that shit is even real. It may all be ones and zeros, like the Matrix. There's a lot of evidence pointing to that.
Yeah, there is.
Everything that we are able to perceive is just a program, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, because if that's the case, then we're really just fighting, torturing, killing ourselves.
It really is ourselves. If you follow the logic that I just laid out, that we're more connected than we are disconnected, or that we have much more in common than that we don't, it is fighting against yourself.
Coming after. No, but seriously, this is what I'm thinking. Whatever it is that animates us, the soul, the spirit, also animates the animal. Also animates intelligent life from other planets.
The principle of life.
Yeah, and our first instinct is to kill the people different from us. Kill the animals.
Kill
the people on Earth different from us.
Yeah, so fear of other is the primary fear. On your day-to-day existence, fear of other. It doesn't matter what form it takes. Fear of the unknown is the same fear. Fear of death is a true fear from a certain point of view. When you're alive, the one thing you don't want is to die. And so if you're suddenly thrust into a situation where death seems possible or imminent, you move much faster. Your body changes, your mind changes, your emotional state changes to prevent that death from occurring. But
yeah.
That's a different state of living, brief though it may be. You know, the experience of right before a car crash, my whole life flashed in front of me.
Yeah.
You're living in a different state when you're there, and you can't just get there. You end up there by accident. And from that point of view, you can see that as a gift if you survive that, because you're able to suddenly process things differently in a way that probably indicates a higher level of consciousness, even if it's driven by panic and fear because, holy crap, I'm about to have an accident or something. You know, it's proof that we can operate in different ways is what I'm really trying to say. So evolution is really the key concern for me. All of this conspiracy stuff is critical to understand, but to me, it's not an end. It's really just a beginning. It's like, okay, what do I do with this information? How can I talk to somebody about 9/11 and what it means? Or how can I talk to someone about Woodrow Wilson selling out the United States to the bankers? Or even before that, maybe it was Lincoln in 1871, or maybe it was the founding fathers from the very get-go that they wrote all these trap doors into the founding of our country. Or maybe they were great guys. Who knows? And you know, Ben Franklin had, like, there were like 10 cadavers found under his house. So people started thinking, what? But it turns out a very logical explanation to that might very well be that he was studying the anatomy of the human body in a time when that was completely be taboo. So he may have been a grave robber for the sake of understanding science. And that kind of makes him a guy who was just following truth. He was trying to find out the truth. Because back in those days, they did crazy stuff to try to cure a headache. Middle Ages, they used to literally drill a hole in your head if you had a migraine headache. Now, that's not the 1700s, but it's not that much farther back. So it makes sense to me that even if in the days of the founding fathers, that if you couldn't examine a dead cadaver, how are you going to learn? How are you going to learn the truth if you can't even look at what we are and pull it apart and dissect it? So, anyway.
I think we just come a such a long way in the course of just human civilization. For majority of civilization, there was just such oppression. Idea guys were always persecuted.
Yeah.
And now at this point where we're at in the 21st century, we are waking up. We are awake. Back in the day, we'd be killed for being awake. For talking about the king, false flag, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though right now does seem like the New World Order is winning and dehumanizing us, but we're still more awake than ever. So where will this, in the future, looking back, this could be the time that we just break free. But I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in meaning. Maybe because as an artist, I've always held a certain standard that art should have meaning to it, that is understandable by a lot of people. So for me, I always come back to the question of the meaning of the time that I'm living in. And yes, a lot of the times you see a news headline that makes you feel like the dark forces are winning, and then something happens. It really depends on what day it is. There are days when I feel like we're winning. Those that stand for the truth and evolution and love and humanity are actually winning. And most of the time these days, that's how I feel. And I'm thankful for any day that seems more positive than the day before, especially because I have three kids that I want to see inherit a world that's worth inheriting.
That spiritual evolution, that compassion, that will defeat the forces of evil. That idea of good and evil. And I believe that there's large force of evil, but there's also an equally large force of good. So this comes down to an individual basis. Just, we got to keep waking people up. People that are awake, they're some of the most compassionate, deep, spiritual people. People that aren't awake, some of the most apathetic. And the technology, it helps us as a tool to awaken people, but also see a lot of these people are just zombies.
Yeah, technology is kind of like an accelerator. It makes smart people smarter and dumb people just more zombie-like. And I think that, I don't know, dumb people isn't really the right way to put it, but people that aren't, for whatever reason, they don't feel that challenging themselves is something to do. But if you're not here to challenge yourself, at some point you have to kind of ask yourself, why are you here? What are you doing? Why are you wasting time? But I think the useful avenue to take in trying to understand the process of waking up is to ask yourself, what are the obstacles to waking up? And the question of good and evil is a good one, because I think it's fair to say that there's good and evil in every human being. There's good and evil. Well, some people don't even seem human to me. Like Henry Kissinger comes to mind, but I could throw a lot of people into that boat.
Yeah.
But he's certainly a bad example. Saying you don't hear about Cheney's ancient history.
Did you hear they're making a statue for him?
Oh, great.
Yeah. I do not want to live in a world where Dick Cheney gets a statue.
They should just drill a hole right through the heart area of the statue. A nice clean hole.
Yeah.
To represent the fact that he doesn't even have his own heart anymore. I think he's living on pig organs or something.
They can give you the pig heart, but God forbid they allow it to where you can use stem cells. You can get stem cells.
Without aborting a fetus.
Yes. And yeah. I think that is what...
That's an important point.
We need to do that.
Absolutely. The fact that we are... been prohibited from using stem cells. That's a definite form of oppression. Meanwhile, you know that there's labs out there in some rich guy's basement where they're doing experiments with cloning and with stem cells. And all this genetic stuff is being played with in private. And, you know, a product is created, patented, and then sold. It's really sick and crazy and out of control. Hard to see how that stuff is going to come down or how it's going to change.
Okay, we elect a good president. And then they say, okay, but I still can't do X, Y, and Z that the people want me to do because we have to have the Congress do it, the Senate. And then they keep electing people, though, that are not writing these bills to end prohibition of marijuana. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders did, so that's great, but that's just one person, and they say he's crazy. The other day, I was talking to my friend about Behold a Pale Horse and Bill Cooper, and I didn't read that book yet, but I've had it in my possession for a couple of years. Like, I almost felt like I was waking up again for the first time. Like, I'm just talking to him and getting, you know, just nice, intellectual, stimulating conversation like we're having. He was telling me that... Bill Cooper predicted 9/11 and then World War III with Russia and America going to war over something fake like ISIS or Al-Qaeda. But I pointed out, I was like, okay, I wasn't too sure on him, I said, because I was Googling around him and I did see he was crazy and debunked. He's like, of course, they said it. And it just sunk in. Even if I am awake, I still can fall for the propaganda. And I would still want to say this on air. I'm ashamed that I even considered that Bill Cooper could have been crazy just because they said so. I don't even know who they are. Somebody said it, though.
Well, they could be any number of people, but that's probably another manifestation of COINTELPRO's survival and continuation. At some point, maybe we'll find out what it's called by them now. Like, they didn't even know that term until the 1971 FBI office in Philadelphia was broken into.
So they pollute the waters of information.
Yeah.
Spreading disinformation.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because most of the facts that we need to prove things we have to dig for, they're sabotaging us with trying to take them out legally with evidence. And then they get mad when you mention Oliver Stone's movie JFK. That was a movie we saw in my history through film class. A kid in my class was saying that the assassination was debunked. It's totally legit. And they were trashing the movie. He was trying to lead the brigade of like a couple kids trashing the movie. And
well, if you get a chance.
And that was a good movie.
Yeah, tell the guy to see Dark Legacy on Netflix.
Okay.
And then come back and talk to you. And we can do a whole show on just that if you want. Like the number of places that George H.W. Bush hears on that narrative, you know, it's mind-boggling. He is so deeply connected to so many evil acts that it's mind-boggling that he isn't in jail.
Yeah.
Should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Our government is responsible for the deaths of almost 100,000 people. Do you really want to know?
Several party members have been murdered, Chief Inspector.
We're interrupting your regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us. Just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, for the population of Baghdad. Shock and awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Get up! Get up! Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it.
we ready for it?
So at some point, all of these connections have to get made, and we have to move on to the next stage. So how do we do that? That's the question. How do we get in this fractured news environment where the argument could be made that your and my talking and putting it out online is just one more fracture, but at the same time, we're racing down the tunnel trying to get to the bottom of the rabbit hole and figure out what those connections are. At some point, as a society on a larger scale, we need to get past the fractured environment and transform the media landscape into a useful place to spend your time so that people are actually learning instead of being distracted. And how to do that is, to me, a big question, an important pursuit. I don't like spending time being some kind of fringe person when what I really stand for is connection, togetherness, love, acceptance, evolution, light, forward progress, and moving on to the next stage because there's work to be done, you know.
Well said. I totally feel like that. I don't want to be considered the conspiracy theorist. It makes me sad that I got to know that 9/11 is an inside job.
Yeah, it's not fun.
And all the others.
It's not fun to be here. It would be a lot more fun to be part of a community where a whole bunch of people were like going, wow, you know what? I guess you're right. I guess I didn't know what was really going on. And I guess I've been too busy to really pay attention. Because there's plenty of evidence out there that if put in the right way, would be hard for people to argue with. But then that brings me back to what are the obstacles to waking up? Really good to know what those things are so that you can front load any discussion that you have with anybody about things that would prevent them from really listening to you. Taking responsibility is, in my mind, the biggest aspect of our predicament, and it's the biggest thing that needs to happen on an individual and collective basis. We all need to take responsibility in order for us to evolve and move on to what comes after all of this crazy shit that's going on right now. I really look forward to reading a history book, a real factual history book, at some point that says the 2000s was a weird time to be alive. It was fractured. It was just crazy. But now we have a better understanding. Now that the CIA has been disbanded and put out of business, now that we've moved on from oil, now that war is a thing of the past, like, let's get to Star Trek. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get to fucking Star Trek now. Make it so, number one.
If we ever have to leave this planet, have you ever heard of Project Lucifer? NASA planned to turn, I believe it was, like, Saturn into, like, set it on fire, turn it into a sun, and then we could, like, inhabit.
I haven't heard of that, but that's
like, we're gonna have to think outside the box once we abuse this planet too much.
Well, they're already sending people to their death on Mars.
They want to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an exciting thing. Like, I can kind of picture myself being in a situation where, if given the opportunity, and if I knew that it was possible to survive there, I might just say, screw this, let's get out of here.
I'd be terraforming weed.
Well, I mean, who knows, man? It seems to me that Mars may not even be what we think it is. It may even have a breathable atmosphere. Who knows?
But this is a good time, I think, to be alive. We've seen major moments in history, and I think we're going to see a lot more. I just feel like humanity is coming to a head. Something is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be Project Bluebeam, another false flag, or aliens, but something's going to happen for us to get to that next level of uniting, more compassion. We're either going to be rounded up in FEMA camps, or we're going to be in Garden of Eden Part 2. We're at like a new modern renaissance, though, because so many people are coming out with their own alternative media, their own music, art, based on our experiences of like 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, as someone who's been consuming media, I remember watching the news. I remember Walter Cronkite and all those guys, and watching the news as a kid and seeing footage of helicopters in Vietnam and as a kid, and my mom like grabbing me and turning the TV off and trying to keep me away from stuff like that. So I've been consuming media since I was a pretty young child, and you know, I've never seen a time when, like, you can easily, everyone would agree that there's a revolution in media alone going on right now as far as its accessibility, and that's all based on technology and the changes that we've seen, and that's awesome. It's really cool. There's never been as many people working for positive change all around the world as there are right now. That's truly a heartening development and really exciting. To me, the only downside of that is that there's just so much going on. There's so many people doing so many things that don't necessarily know of each other or speak to each other. So there is still this fractured state. Everybody's making a blog or a webcast. cast or podcast or whatever. Like, it's awesome. It's really cool. But at the end of the day, I want to know that you affected this guy over there, or I affected my neighbor or someone on the other side of the planet and made a connection. Because people connecting is as important as people making connections in their minds and hearts about the nature of the reality that we're in. That's exciting. It's very clear to see that that could happen because we have the tools to do that now. And Facebook is whatever. Like,
yeah.
Facebook has an agenda like every... It's a business. And why can't we have a Facebook that isn't actually a business? It's just there. Something that helps us and doesn't hurt us. Something that is transparent with us, to us. We can be transparent. You know, a new way of doing business where profit isn't the ultimate motive. How about sustainability? Staying in business so that you can pass that business on to your kids and their kids. You know, other motives than just profit. Money itself may soon be obsolete. We don't even know. There's certainly people moving to make it obsolete with other forms of currency. But if we could just have currency that wasn't corrupted by a private central bank, then we could probably make a lot of cool things happen. And as long as the Rothschilds keep their dirty mitts off of Syria, maybe we'll get there. I think Syria and Iran are the last two frontiers of the New World Order plan. So it's really awesome that so many aspects of that plan are falling apart. You know, and there are days when I don't see a chemtrail for, it seems a couple of weeks I didn't see a chemtrail, and then they came back. But geoengineering is now officially not denied anymore because they figured out some spin. So they can just come out and say, yeah, we're geoengineering the planet. We're doing this. Oh, but I don't remember having a vote in that fucking process, buddy.
Exactly.
You know, like, where's my vote? Do I get to decide? I'd really rather do without the barium and the aluminum in my lungs.
Yeah,
and my
exactly.
plants are really not too psyched. Should have seen my tomatoes this year. They're trying to grow, but not doing that great. And that's feedback right there. Nature gives you feedback. It becomes hard to ignore it.
Yeah, when I saw a video that had to do something with chemtrails and Morgellons, research that I didn't really get too deep in.
Yeah,
so I still got to get into
well,
that.
I started seeing the connection between chemtrails and Morgellons. Bunch of videos that said you should be rinsing with organic grape juice. Spit the grape juice out on a paper plate and you'll start to see these little Morgellon worms in the... But it has to be organic grape juice.
Really? Because
so that's one quick test.
I heard of that. I heard of oil pulling with coconut oil.
I haven't heard of that.
You just take a little spoonful of it and swish it around for 15 to 30 minutes. All around healthy thing to do. The grape juice I heard in the same bread as like another alternative.
I mean, I think that that's an interesting connection, and if it's true, like, it may mean that we have parasites living in our bodies all the time, and that's something to be creeped out about, but what can you do about it? I don't know.
Vegetarian lifestyle.
Well, yeah, certainly. Vegetarian lifestyle is just the right thing to do on so many levels that, you know, I can't even begin. It's hard because there aren't that many of those options out there.
Yeah.
It's getting better and better, but it's still hard.
We need to have multiple choices for that kind of stuff to
Absolutely.
Encourage it. The Health Ranger a year or two ago put out something about McDonald's chicken nuggets, did you hear? And he put it under a microscope, and there were Morgellon type 5, and I'll never eat them again ever since I saw that.
Yeah, well, I stopped eating McDonald's years ago. For a while, it was just a matter of I would only eat McDonald's when I absolutely had to. Like, I was out on the highway, and that's all there was. Even now, there's always something. And, you know, they're shutting down restaurants, and that's an amazing thing I never thought I would see in my lifetime. You know, I grew up with, you know, Mayor McCheese and all the bullshit that they shoved down my throat. Anyway, yeah, food and food sovereignty is a really important issue to me that is a deep connection. It's sort of like a foundational thing because we all have to eat like every day. And, you know, I work at a place that I won't mention that it's just lining the pockets of the guy who owns the place. And it's not doing anything for you. It's not doing anything for me except my little 25% discount. They sell organic food. That's great. They sell some vegan food. That's great. But they're still ultimately just exploiting a popular market to line their own pockets. And that's my latest thing that's stuck in my craw most recently. So I'm making plans to change that. And by the way, my name is Will, or Wit, depending on where you source my data. And I would like this to be an ongoing thing if you're down with it, Andrew.
Absolutely. So. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask recurring guests.
Sure. I think that would be great. There's just too much ground to cover.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep trying to bring it back to making connections and evolution and positive things that we can do. Because I've spent enough time in the conspiracy community to get to the point where I felt like my paranoia was growing, but that was about it. I wasn't doing much more than learning about all this crazy shit going on and getting paranoid about it. And I can't really go down that road. I can't afford to go down that road because I don't live in my mom's basement. I have three kids and I want to see things change for them. Things are changing. That's what's great. Things have changed that just blew my mind, like the McDonald's thing. The fact that Monsanto's been kicked out of Europe for the most part. That's amazing to me. The fact that they're working with the World Wildlife Federation to destroy the Amazon rainforest, I just found out about less than a week ago. That really disturbs me. And that's another reason for some new voices to rise into the point where they can expose the WWF and any other environmental groups or any groups that have public sway and hold public trust and are also betraying that trust. So,
all right.
I don't know where to end because there's no end.
Yeah, I know. There is no end.
There is no end. God, it would be nice to get to an end where we can say, oh, okay, you're Zorlak from Nibiru 6. Nice to meet you.
Check us out online at ArmageddonRecords.com.